path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, man?
I'm great. How are you?
I've never been better.
Good.
Almost there, buddy.
Can you believe? It's the 19th. Have we ever worked this late into the year in our lives?
So.
No, I'm sure we have. I remember one time, I want to say we worked all the way up till the 22nd. I think we did, Laszlo. I think we did. I think that might be the record. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe it just felt like the 22nd, and it was actually the 12th. But I remember us sitting here. We had that basketball.
Feels like I wouldn't have been happy with that.
We weren't. Oh, we, I mean, neither of us. That basketball player that used to live around here, you know, that guy that you were kind of buddies with. I can't think of his damn name now.
Paul Shirley.
Yes, Paul. He was with us. I don't remember why, but I just remember I was like, man, it is so late in the year, and we are still here. But it doesn't feel quite like that this year.
No, I guess maybe because the weather's nice. I think if it was snowing and...
I think because of where the holiday falls, because we always take a bunch of time off at the end of the year. This is our vacation.
Yes.
And people who listen will say, well, you definitely take other vacations. That's true.
Yes.
That's true. But
this is the one we
is the one that we always know we're going to take, and there is nothing quite like that feeling of going home after that last day of work, so it'll be tomorrow, right? You get home tomorrow night, and you sit down and you watch TV. And I mean, I feel it every year. I look around the house, the Christmas decorations are up, and I go, this is it.
It'll be nice.
I'll have all this time off now. I used to feel that way when I get out of church with my parents. I'm like, yes, now I don't have to go back to church for another week. Tomorrow's payday, so I'm assuming that you've still got a little bit more shopping to do.
Man, I'm just about... I think I'm done. I was wrapping gifts this morning.
Okay.
I mean, there's stuff that still hasn't gotten to me yet.
Yeah.
But I'm like, all right, there's a lot of stuff under the tree. And then I'm like, I'm looking at my thing, and I'm like, oh, there's stuff that's still coming in, a couple things I haven't wrapped, and there's stuff coming in that I'm like, oh, I bought that from a website, but I don't really know where that website... You know what I mean? Like, you know... I don't have my shipping details, so I feel like there's going to be stuff that shows up. I'm like, oh, damn, I forgot I bought that.
Yeah, that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
So you actually started to wrap? Or did you have somebody wrap? Did somebody come over and wrap some presents for you? Did you find a pro?
Well, I did have somebody come over and wrap some.
Okay.
But they didn't wrap all of them.
Okay.
And then I wrapped this morning.
Okay.
Well, to be fair, I didn't really wrap.
You put things in bags?
Boxes with bows.
Those are perfect. My mom uses those all the time. You went and bought some of the boxes.
I went and bought some of the boxes, and I got
to
buy some more.
That's perfect. Yeah. That's all you got to do. You don't even really have to put the bows on them. Bows make it nice.
Right.
Yeah, you get those Christmas boxes, you're good to go.
The Christmas boxes, write their name on them, and I put double face tape on it and stick the bow on it. Because pulling the back off those bows is a major pain in the ass.
Oh, okay.
Hate it.
Maybe I have delicate hands, so it's not...
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I don't get it all off, and then by, you know, Christmas, you just have
falls
bows that have fallen off the boxes.
Pulls it off there, too.
Hey, boom. Little double-faced tape, double-sided tape, bam.
Because you can use bags, but there's something... If everything's in bags under the tree, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right.
Well, it's good,
and I'm sure people
do
it.
Like, you know, maybe 4, 5, 7 things for them wrapped.
Yeah.
That, you know, the lady wrapped, and then the rest of it in boxes.
Okay. Okay. So it was a lady who wrapped them, huh? I thought I could honestly
see.
There
is honestly a lady. No. Well, there is a lady, really nice. I met her years ago. And she cleaned my house a couple times.
Okay.
And I just kept in touch with her, you know, over the years. And so, like in the spring, like she'll text me and be like, hey, you need somebody to clean out those closets or whatever, you know, move your stuff around. She just knows everything around the house. I'm like, yeah. So she'll come over and do it, and, you know, I texted her last week. I was like, hey, I got some Christmas presents. You need some extra Christmas money? She's like, I'll come over Monday morning.
Okay, so that's how it just worked out then.
Yeah.
Boom. Because I honestly could have seen Matt or Mike or one of those guys, you asking them, like, if they came over, you know what I mean, just to say hi or maybe even I don't know, pick up the kids, whatever. I could see you being like, hey, listen. Because you were really worried about the rapping thing.
There was
text going on with the Nick Wright group chat. There was talk about it here at work. And I thought there was a chance that you might even bring some stuff to work.
I thought about it today because I have like shoe boxes. You can't put shoe boxes in boxes.
Okay.
So I'm not exactly sure. I guess I'm just going to have to stop and get wrapping paper and try that. I mean, I'm not looking forward to
you
that.
You mean the shoe boxes won't fit in
a box? In I don't know. Boxes. But I could get maybe just bags for those.
Yeah, you could get bags for those.
Right.
You could put them in, I mean, you could put them in a... I would put them, what I would do personally is put them in an Amazon box. Take the box, put that box inside an Amazon box, because shoe boxes are weird, you know, with the lips on it makes it harder to wrap. Get a nice, smooth-surfaced box, and then just wrap that. But you don't really want to wrap, so...
Well, maybe I'll just get some bags and put the shoes
bags
in
are probably the way to go. And you've already got some stuff wrapped, so you can put some stuff in bags.
Yeah.
The boxes, to me, count as wrapped. It looks like, you know, when there are boxes under the tree and they've got the Christmas decorations, that counts. And I'm sure you can obviously do all bags. There are probably guys out there who are like, everything's in a bag.
Right.
I just put it all in a bag. And you could.
Well, now there'll be boxes, wrapped, and then maybe some bags.
I saw a thing where they were asking people about wrapping presents. And they were actually also looking at, you know, how well people can wrap. And they said the people who are worst at, which this isn't really a surprise, but the people who are absolute worst at wrapping presents are men, I think they said, between the ages of 30 and 60 in the Midwest.
Well, that's me.
Well, I mean, that's you probably could have guessed that, but...
Well, why in the Midwest worse than the
East that Coast? Is curious. I don't know why specifically guys in the Midwest are worse.
Because guys on the East and West Coast are more effeminate.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Or is it because they
do girl stuff.
Must be.
Touch
I mean,
their
what could it possibly be?
Right, that's it. They do girl stuff.
What else are guys in the Midwest... Like, what else are they rapping on the West Coast and East Coast that makes them better at wrapping Christmas presents? There's only one thing you wrap, and that's a birthday gift or a Christmas gift. That's it.
I think guys on the East Coast and West Coast are gay.
You think that's it?
I think, yeah.
I mean, is there a higher kind? You know. Some people might be offended, but look, there's got to be some explanation for this. It makes no sense otherwise.
I didn't think of that until you told me the study.
They said the Midwest.
Now the study's
they're
there.
The worst.
Look, I just follow the science.
98.9 The Rock. Your home for the Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.
I think we talked a month or so ago about some article that rated the worst owners in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't remember who came out on top, but Woody Johnson was up there.
He was always up there.
I mean, the Jets, they're out of the playoffs, obviously.
Yeah.
I think that officially happened a few weeks ago.
By the way, let me interrupt you real quick, because the Bandit on our Twitch, if you want to watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo, he said, damn it, I need that COL vodka to power me through the holidays. You can get it. Plenty of places to get it. I think you live in Lenexa. Go to Gomer's.
The list is
pick
long.
Yourself up a bottle.
Yeah. When Laszlo read through all of our partners the last time around,
Liquor,
I was shocked.
Yeah.
A ton of them. So the owner of the Jets, and the Jets in general, when you think Jets right now, I guess you think Aaron Rodgers, will he be there next year? I saw some story about Aaron Rodgers saying that if they keep him around, he'd be willing to mentor a young quarterback. Okay, great. I don't know. Maybe he'd be a great mentor. I don't know, but that sounds expensive.
It also sounds like that's not the guy I want mentoring.
I don't think so, but I guess I must have some sort of beef with him because I just am so negative about him, and there's no real reason to be as negative about him as I am. And I don't mean because of his personal life, I don't think, but maybe that is creeping into my head a little bit. Maybe he has said something that annoyed
like
me. He just seems like kind of a douche.
Yeah.
And ever since I saw
things
that 60
like,
Minutes
you know,
thing,
he didn't really talk to, you know, Jordan Love and Green Bay very much. Like, I don't think,
surprising.
It doesn't seem like a Alex Smith type of guy.
Right.
Yeah.
If you said, hey, which one of these guys would you rather have be a mentor? How about him? Also, I mean, this is a question you'd have to answer, Laszlo, but when they talk about mentors in the NFL, quarterback specifically, why does the quarterback have to still be playing there? Couldn't you bring in someone that you know is a great mentor, like Alex Smith, I guess, and have him stand on the sidelines and give the new player some tips? You know, or do they have to watch him play? Is that what being a mentor is?
That would be a quarterback coach.
It would be a quarterback coach. But, you know, at that point, he's also
like a guy who's playing and that can kind of talk to him while he's playing.
Right. But I guess I just don't know.
Help
like,
him in practice.
Help him in practice, I guess.
What it's like to be a pro, the work you got to put in, film you got to study.
And to just
I think it's
watch
different
him
coming
do
from
it.
A player
yeah.
than it is a coach.
So you mentioned something about that game ball story. I did see something about that. That involved the Jets as well. And That has, I guess Aaron Rodgers, I'm assuming this is the story that you're talking about, where Aaron Rodgers had a game ball.
And he was going to give it to the new coach, and then the owner's son was like, and just gave the game ball to Garrett Wilson or something.
It was like Aaron Rodgers, so they'd fired their coach, they got this interim coach, they'd won a game, I think they said this was after Halloween, or on Halloween, and Aaron Rodgers was going to give the game ball, like he's got it in his hands, and then the owner, now there's two different ways that I read this. One said that the owner had a ball and handed it to someone and said, here's the game ball. Another one said that he took the game ball right out of Aaron Rodgers' hands and said, here, I'm giving it to the receiver. Which that receiver did have a good,
great catch.
Yeah. I mean, everyone saw that catch. That was a highlight of the week. But people said it was, what was the quotes? Deflating.
Right, so sense. It took the air out of the room.
Took the air out of the room. That's what it was. And you see stuff regularly about what a dysfunctional place the Jets organization is, and just the Jets in general are. People don't like playing there, it would seem. And you get those little leaks. They're not happy to be working there. It's just not good. They've had how many losing seasons in a row now?
I don't know. But I mean, it hasn't been good for years.
It's bad. And it's New York. It's the Jets. Come on, turn it around. You got cool uniforms. You're the Jets. You got plenty of fans. Just do something. You draft people.
History, Joe Namath. Like, you got, you know, but
there's got to be something wrong from the top. Eventually, you have to go, okay, maybe there's a problem at the top and a problem in the front office. Because when you're drafting these players, you've got the money to spend. You're spending the money. There's other things that are going wrong.
I know Aaron Rodgers got hurt. It could, you know, who knows? I mean, it was the Lions forever.
Right.
And they could never get the right GM. And now the daughter is the owner and seems to have figured it out. So, you know, I guess you just never know.
I always hear Cowherd on FS1 talking about culture and how that's so important to change the culture, and how what they couldn't do in Detroit for years was change the culture, and they did it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, that you have to get people into this headspace of, I'm in a place I want to play.
Exactly.
Where my teammates want to play, and we want to win because we know we can win.
Right.
And a team like the Jets, when you've had that many losing seasons, you got to turn some things around. I know there's only one Andy Reid. You can't have, you know, there's some great coaches, and there's some okay coaches, and I get it. But the Jets have been bad for a long time. They've really, honestly, been bad my whole life.
Yeah, I can't
have they
think.
Not? I mean, they had some moments.
Like in the 80s, but not great even then.
Time.
Richard Todd or something, maybe the 90s. But I can't remember a time where I was like, I mean, the Buddy Ryan Jets beat the Patriots that year. But there's no time where I'm like, hey, the Jets are awesome.
Right. Maybe this is their year. They're fun to watch. They're great. Yeah. They've just always been a bad team. Like the worst team, now that I think about it, that in the NFL. And so far as just over the course of my lifetime being miserable, he just threw a dart at any year.
For the last 3 years, the Lions were it.
I know. That's true. But you do have the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So Jets now, maybe you can make a case.
Cleveland's bad, but they've been...
They've had some moment. Maybe it's just because I kind of root for them, too.
Yeah, but they lost to Denver in the, you know, championship
game. There's something. Well, so you got to keep in mind that people don't really think the Jets owner is good at owning a football team, whatever that means. They think there's a lot of dysfunction there. And so maybe that plays into the story. But there was the game ball story. But then the other story is that there was a trade that the GM wanted to make. I guess the GM and the coach, I would suspect. But the GM wanted to make a trade for Jerry Jeudy. I don't know Jerry Jeudy. Do you?
Mm-hmm. Wide receiver.
Yeah, wide receiver.
He used to play for, I think he's from Alabama.
Okay. They wanted to make a trade during the offseason.
The Browns? Was he with the Browns? Or okay, go on.
I don't know. I don't even know his name. Okay. Is he good now?
Yeah.
Okay. They wanted to make a trade during the offseason. You know, try and give Aaron Rodgers some weapons. And I guess the deal was like about to be done. But then the owner comes in and says, nope, we're not making that trade. Why? Because his Madden rating isn't high enough.
Oh.
And so that's the big headline, is that he's making decisions. He nixed a trade based on their Madden rating not being high enough. Now, also, what plays into this is that his son may have been the one who told them about the Madden rating not being high enough.
Right.
But everyone, of course, this is a big ha-ha, can you believe it? He's making decisions. Could they be any more dysfunctional? He's making decisions based on Madden ratings. But what is a Madden rating? It's stats that they put together in the game based on how
good they are.
Good they are, based on NFL stats.
And if you watch that Madden documentary,
I haven't finished that.
Well, like in the fourth or fifth episode, they've hired Chad Ochocinco and like four or five other guys, and they go out and watch games and practices and rate them. So they get, like, they are doing real scouting work. It's true. Like, I was like, oh, man. I thought they probably just had guys on, you know, watch the games and be like, yeah, he's fast, 92, whatever. I didn't know. And, like, they have Chad Ochocinco and these other guys talking about it. Like, look at that first step. That's a good first step. And they start
marking it down.
Yeah. I was like, wow, they do really good scouting work. So.
Well, do you know, because I could see this being the case. The thing I don't know about Madden ratings, now that all games are online, your console's always online, are they constantly updating their Madden ratings by what's happening during the regular season? Okay, that's the way I understood this, but I just wanted to make sure that that's what they're doing. You know, back in the day, depending on what year Tecmo Bowl you had or whatever, then Bo Jackson and Christian Okoye were the best running backs that you couldn't tackle. Right. And that didn't change over time.
Right. Yeah. No, they update as you go.
So they can update the same game.
Like, I don't play Madden. I haven't played Madden in a while. Not that I don't like it, but I've been playing college football 25 a lot. And I know that when Hunter won the Heisman the other day, they updated it on my computer and he went to... it just says Travis Hunter 99 cheat code.
Okay, cool.
So they update it as it goes.
That's kind of what
baseball
I figured,
one does it too. The baseball one, I think, does it cooler. That game's awesome. It does it like, say, Slim Fast is a 77, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it has your number on there. You're a 77. It lets you know what it is. But then during the week, it will say like arrow up plus three because you're That's having a good week.
Yeah.
And then it could be like, arrow down, minus four, in a slump. So they're actually keeping track of how you're doing during the week.
So, and that is crazy. Changing my overall rating, correct?
Yeah, as you're the guy you're playing.
I didn't know. And, like, do they just say, we're going to do that? Let's say it's Madden 24.
Mm-hmm.
Since this is the 2024 season, do they just continue to update those ratings until this season is over? Because if you go back and play a game from 10 years ago, right, like you don't want to affect that. Mm-hmm. So I just assume that. But I thought that during the season
they could update it.
So I don't think it's that crazy. Now, you can say, well, his son's getting involved and saying...
His son's not
12. Right. You know, don't forget, it's not like his son is a 10-year-old coming in there saying, Daddy, no, I looked at the video game, and you shouldn't make the trade for him. His son's an adult, and the Madden rating is, I don't think, the dumbest thing in the world.
And I'd have to know what was the trade. So Jerry Jeudy, if I'm correct, played for the Broncos and then went to the Browns. I'd have to know what the trade was. Like, who were they going to trade for Jerry Jeudy?
I thought
Madden ratings right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I really thought the last article that I was reading this morning said who they wanted to trade.
I think he was a Bronco.
But this one doesn't say. It just says that they wanted to make this trade for Jeudy. And then in the quotes here, Douglas told the Broncos that Johnson didn't want to make the trade because the owner felt Judy's player rating in Madden NFL, the popular video game, wasn't high enough, according to multiple league sources. The Broncos ultimately traded the receiver to the Cleveland Browns. Last Sunday, Jeudy crossed the 1,000-yard receiving mark for the first time in his career. So, certainly good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's a good player. I mean, you know, yeah. He was great in college. He was good, you know. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I'm just curious... What was the trade?
Yeah, me too. I don't know. I really thought that the thing I read this morning said, but maybe I'm just dreaming that. But so you agree then, the Madden rating thing is not that ridiculous. It's a real stat, and it's updated.
Okay, but I don't think you want that going out.
I get it. It sounds bad.
It sounds
especially
really
when you say
bad.
That the son said...
I don't think it's horrible and an idea, I think. But I think if the son... So, if I was the son, and I was like, I don't think we should trade for Jerry Jeudy, I would not say I don't think we should trade for him because of his Madden score, even though that's the only thing I'm going off of.
I totally agree.
I would be like, I would look at his ring and be like, oh, you know what? He's not that fast. Or whatever they say that brought it down.
Right.
I would just use that as my guide, but never say I looked at it.
But could you say, because we don't know exactly what was said here, and this is all kind of a... You know, I guess substantiated rumor that this is what happened anyway. But couldn't you imagine when you go, hey, I don't know if we want to make that trade. Can we see his stats? What are his stats? And then someone says, yeah, because I mean, I'm looking at his Madden rating. It's not as high as I'd like it.
No.
You know what I mean? Something like that?
No.
No, that's still...
Just leave the Madden rating out
of it. Just don't say it.
Just use it, but don't say it.
Yeah. Don't say Madden. Don't say Madden.
I'm looking at
it. Pull your headset, one ear over.
Like,
and
I'm
go,
a football guy. I don't need Madden to tell me anything. But I'm looking at the Madden, right? That's what
right.
I'm using.
Right.
But
I was looking at some analytics earlier.
Just be like, hey, I know we were thinking about making a trade for him, and I've been studying some game tape, and you know what?
There you go.
You know, his hands aren't great, and he's a little slow off the first step. I don't even know what that means, but, right?
Yeah.
But that's what I'd be doing if I was the kid.
Yeah, well, unfortunately for New York, there's really nothing you can do about your owner.
Mm-mm.
He owns it.
So that's the Cowboys.
Exactly. And I honestly would maybe say that Jerry's worse just because he's so public. You see him constantly. So if you are annoyed with him as a fan, if you don't like him, you have to see so much of him on the national.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Cowboys are much more of a national brand than the Jets. So, but I'm guessing if you're a Jets fan and you live on Long Island, you see plenty of Woody and you do not like him.
True.
Time to pass the collection plate.
Give with a joyful heart, and you will be blessed.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo. Don't mind me. I'm just finishing up my Lunchables.
Yeah, is it good? Is it just a regular one?
Yeah, turkey and cheese.
Laszlo, someone on Twitch brought this up, and so Laszlo and I were just kind of discussing it before we went on the air, which, by the way, if you'd like to hang out with us, go to twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo.
Yeah.
You can talk to us. You can see us on and off the air. And if you don't, if you're like, I don't know what that is, just you can go to the website on your computer or just download the Twitch app.
Easy.
You don't have to, you know, pay money or anything like that. Just download the app.
That's easy.
Look for Church of Laszlo, and then boom, you'll see us. There we are. Somebody on Twitch.
God damn.
I don't know who it was.
Laszlo guy.
Was it Mr. or was it Logan Paul on our Twitch that told us about the Michigan story? Somebody told us.
It was Mr. Beast.
Okay.
He was watching earlier.
I don't know if this is really a national news story or not. It could be, because there could be some fear that, I know there's fear from CEOs across the country that something bad could happen to them, that maybe there's going to be this rebellion against the rich and the powerful after the shooting of the UnitedHealthcare CEO.
Yeah.
And I saw something, I don't know, maybe you'll know. There was something about a hotline where CEOs could call and say if they were worried about their safety. Did you see that? Yeah, I was like, what the hell?
The CEO.
Anyhow, yeah, I know. It must have been for the FBI or something. I'm not sure. But this guy, this is a smaller company in Michigan. It's just kind of a crazy story, I think, worth bringing up because it's so crazy. Most of us been in these positions where you go to a staff meeting in the middle of the day. And we can all envision it. They say there was a staff meeting at this small manufacturing company. They don't say small. They say it's a manufacturing company. I've never heard of it. I don't know what they make. But they're having a meeting in the conference room, and the boss is there, the staff is there, and one of the newer employees walks in, and he's wearing a black medical mask, and he walks right up to the boss and just stabs him in the side. Pulls out a red-handed knife with a 4-inch blade and just, boom, stabs him. Now, he went on the run, but they caught this guy, and they charged him with, I don't know, running from police, and then with assault with intent to... Yeah, they did. I think it was like fleeing and eluding. But he also got, of course, charged with assault, attempted murder, basically.
The guy didn't die?
The guy is out of surgery. They said he's in stable condition, I think is what I read. But can you imagine being in a staff meeting and somebody just loses it on your... And also, there's always somebody in that meeting that you don't know.
I feel like, did my dream come to life?
Well, it depends on your boss.
No. I'm just saying, you sit in a room, you're like, man, I wish somebody would stand up and stab this dude.
It would be...
And then when somebody stands up and stabs you, I would honestly be like, oh, no.
Stab you?
No! Well, I've been in a staff meeting, and I thought, I wish somebody would stab this person.
Oh, you're the boss, yeah.
And you're sitting there, and the boss is talking, and somebody stands up and stabs them. I'd be like, oh, no, did I create this?
Right, I gotcha. Well, it would be exciting.
Did I will it to happen?
I mean, I don't want it to happen, but it would be something exciting, and it would get you out of that meeting early. Just, I can envision that room that they're sitting in.
And the Panera in there.
The waste of time that's happening, because nothing is ever accomplished in those stupid meetings.
So horrible.
Just going around in circles, and you think, this is exactly what we said last time.
Manifest to Stabbing, someone just said. That is a good band name.
That is a good band name. What kind of music is Manifest to Stabbing? They got to be, that. You could be metal, right?
Industrial.
Okay. I feel like there's a couple genres
there.
Kind
of like a Nine Inch Nails, you know, Sisters of Mercy thing, right?
Okay.
Like, you know,
I think that
some sort of 90s meets early 80s.
Industrial hard rock.
Ministry thing.
Yeah, that works.
Skinny Puppy. We are manifesting and stabbing.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it.
So someone told us about that. That was, and when they said it on Twitch, I thought that they were saying someone from Michigan football got stabbed.
Yeah, that's right.
I interpreted that, which is why I looked it up. And I thought, well, now I looked it up, we have to share it. But the big news that I know is national news, maybe the biggest story of the day, is relating to the Wisconsin school shooting that happened a few days ago. We've been learning more about the girl who perpetrated it. You know, she took her own life after she shot a couple people. And we've now seen they've released writings of what we believe to be hers. I don't actually know if they've officially verified them. Last I heard, the police chief was saying we're still verifying to see what's what. We know the police have been talking to her parents, trying to figure out what's going on there. There's been allegations from those girls' writings that maybe her parents weren't great parents. Again, if she actually wrote this stuff. Saw some stuff online about her dad being a drunk and just her complaining. I mean, it was coming from her. It wasn't from other students or friends. It was her complaining about her parents. And that was kind of, I feel like, where we were at last night. Then this morning, I wake up and find out that the FBI has detained the boyfriend. I'd heard a little bit about the boyfriend, and I shouldn't say boyfriend, because they don't know for sure that he's the boyfriend. Okay. But he is a 20-year-old man. Again, she was 15. A 20-year-old man who was in contact with this girl, with the shooter.
Right. Is this in Carlsbad?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
So some people are saying the boyfriend. I feel like the bigger outlets are just saying he's a guy who's connected to her. We don't know exactly what the relationship was. But we know that they've been corresponding. And the FBI is saying, yeah, they were corresponding about doing attacks. Like, I don't know, you know, the school shooting was mentioned. But also this guy had talked about wanting to attack a government building. And it's really unclear to me, at least, if he's saying this is our plan and we're going to do this, or if it's more like this is what we should do. It kind of, remember that Cannibal Cop documentary, Lazo, where the cop was, they tried to charge him because he'd written all the stuff about wanting to eat people.
Eat a baby.
And, yeah.
Wanted to cook a baby and eat it.
So it became this big free speech thing.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I wonder if that's what would happen in a case like this, because this guy didn't participate that we know of. Obviously, he was in Carlsbad.
Yeah.
So if he actually helped facilitate it, if he got her weapons or
whatever,
then I can absolutely see you don't get your freedom of speech card.
But I don't think I should get in trouble if me and you are texting. I'm like, man, I'd like to eat a baby.
Right.
And you're like, me too. I'd love to eat a baby. I'm like, they look fat and delicious.
Yeah.
I like to, you know,
put it in barbecue sauce.
Put it in barbecue sauce and soy sauce and put it in the oven and then eat that little baby. It'd be delicious. Even if I meant it. And then, like, 2 weeks later, they're like, Slim Fast ate a baby.
That's
and you were talking
saying
to him about it. Now you have to go to jail, too. I'm like, no.
Yes.
I just thought about eating a baby.
That's what I'm
saying. That's not illegal.
Exactly.
I can think about baby eating.
They've only charged.
But I can't eat a baby.
They've only charged this guy civilly. So I will say that's something. If they had just arrested him and they said we're, you know, charging him with 10 felonies or whatever, I'd be a little more worried. And maybe they haven't. I just haven't seen that yet. But the last article I'm seeing here, it was just a civil thing. But that at least gave them the ability to make sure that he doesn't do anything now, to take his weapons and
Enjoy
that stuff.
Away, yeah.
And I'm okay with that. The judge says, okay, if you want to charge him civilly, we'll look into this. And for now, at least you can take his stuff.
Yeah.
I get it. She shot up a school. And you think that he is connected to her.
Yeah, so take his guns away.
And he's talked about taking a bomb to a government building, take a minute to just sift through some of the evidence and have a look. I'm okay with that part, for sure.
Overnight, we learned a man in California was detained for his connections to the 15-year-old Wisconsin school shooter. 20-year-old Alexander Pfaffendorf of Carlsbad, California, had been communicating with the teen and is suspected of plotting a mass shooting with Rupnow. The document says he admitted to the FBI agents that he told Rupnow he would arm himself with explosives and a gun and target a government building. Police and FBI agents went to his home Tuesday to confiscate his weapons and ammunition.
So let me ask you this. I agree with you on the baby
thing.
That's what they're saying.
Anybody else say?
That's what they're saying.
Okay.
Let me ask you this, because I totally agree with the baby thing. They are delicious.
Yes.
I mean, you have a right to say it.
They look delicious.
Yeah.
Are they delicious? Are you saying they are?
I don't know.
They just look delicious.
I don't know. But I agree with you on that point. If I go out and do that, we shouldn't both be in trouble just because you talked about it. which is kind of where my default is for a situation like this. If he, like I said, obviously if he facilitated anything, helped get her plans in any way, actually helped her plans the specific attack,
then I understand. Then he's
but if he said, I know you were saying, boy, I sure would like to do these things, and that's free speech, and I agree. But what if you say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. This is what I'm going to do, hon. I'm going to get a bomb. And you say all those things. You say, I'm going to do it.
And then I don't
But then you don't do it.
Yeah, well, that's you're fine.
I think so, too.
What do you mean you think so?
Like, okay, well, here's the thing. If they say, okay, well, now we got to let you go. It's all free speech. And we're going to give you your weapons back and all that stuff. And then he goes and shoots someplace up. They say, hey, this guy said he was going to do this, and you let him have all of his weapons back. Like, is there a middle ground?
You got to keep an eye on him.
Yeah, you just have to watch him now, right? Yeah.
And I think, I don't want to get into it with gun guys. So here we are. Like, you know, we've decided that, you know, the Second Amendment is the most important amendment. And people get guns. So it is what it is. But, you know, I guess my logic would be like, if you started telling people you were going to shoot up a school, that they would take your guns.
That seems like one of those red flag laws.
Well, we're not there.
And I don't know how many states have red flag laws, but those laws do exist. You say, I'm going to kill myself,
If you didn't have it and you couldn't take the gun because of the Second Amendment, then the cops got to watch them.
Yeah, I would think that California, if anyone has red flag laws, I would assume it's them. Yeah. And that, to me, seems like a perfect opportunity to use it. Hey, this guy didn't say he would love to, and he says he's going to do it. So take his guns away, because he's been talking like this, and we have reason to believe that he's being serious about it, that this isn't just some sort of fantasy. Then that should qualify. I'm fine with the red flag laws.
Yeah, me too.
Like, hey, I think my cousin's about to kill himself. Please don't let him buy that gun.
The problem is, I mean, I can hear the other argument is that people are just going to say that about people.
Yes. And that's what, it is difficult,
like,
I think
Slim's
going
to eat a baby. And people are like, okay, well, then we have to keep an eye on him, and he can't have any babies. And then you're like, I never said that.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, you did. Well,
that is the debate.
Like, that would be the debate. Anybody could do it to anybody at any time.
Which is why I've heard it's kind of difficult. And it just because someone says, okay, this person does qualify for some sort of monitoring because of the red flag, well, maybe we temporarily don't let them buy a gun, it doesn't mean necessarily that you're never allowed to buy a gun again. They could look into it. Authorities could look into it and say, hey, I don't think this person's actually going to harm themselves or harm anybody else.
Right.
We have no real evidence, at least. They're not threatening to. We're going to take that pause away, whatever it was, that temporary ban. We're going to lift it, and now if the person wants to go buy a gun, they'll be legally allowed to do so. I'm fine with that. You looked into it, you say, hey, Second Amendment, you know, just don't have enough evidence here to say that this person actually is going to do these things, so we're going to lift the ban. I don't like the idea of this guy going to prison if all he did was say he'd like to do this stuff.
Yeah, if he wasn't like, and you need to do it too on this day.
Right, right.
You know, because the encouraging her to do things, that's already kind of been to court with that girl we watched the documentary who was like, kill yourself, kill yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what happened in that court case.
She did get in trouble.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd let lawyers sort that out in court. You know, what is it? Does it cross the line of free speech when you start saying, eat the baby?
Yeah.
Eat the baby? But if you're just saying, I want to eat a baby, then I don't think there's any crime in that. I can't imagine. Can you?
No, I can't. Mm-mm.
Do you think babies look delicious?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I do not.
Oh, man. They're fat little legs?
I think they're cute. I think kids are cute.
I mean, that's what women when they grab them, they go, no, 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 no.
Yeah, because they think they're cute.
And what do they say? I want to eat you up.
Yeah, they don't mean that they actually want to saute them.
No, but I'm just saying they say that because they look delicious.
I think you're wrong there.
Time for a smoke break.
Fire it up.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock. It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know. Could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
First things first. I know you got a doom scroll, but can I borrow your charger?
Yes.
Thank you.
See if this one works.
And look at all this stuff. Our guy from Prairie Sailor dropped it off.
I'm excited. We don't know. I'm wearing Prairie Sailor right now. Did he bring clothes, or is it like
clothes and booze and? Yeah,
that's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. I wonder how he's doing.
You talked to him? Good. We stepped out there and talked.
Okay, good.
You know, we have a clothing line together. We got to get started in the spring. We're a little late for baseball, so we got a baseball clothing line we're doing together.
Yeah, So you're going to be working on that
for the beginning of baseball.
For spring. It's exciting. And, of course, he's got his own fine line of...
Exceptional clothing.
Yes. Probably.
Winter hats?
The nicest clothes that I own right now are clothes that he gave me. So, yeah, he makes good-looking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The news, we can get through this, man. We're almost done.
Come on, man.
Christmas is almost here, and a lot of people have some Christmas shopping left to do. I would assume a lot of them do. I see all those things that pop up when you go online. It says, hurry, last chance to get Christmas gifts in time. And I've noticed already a lot of stuff on Amazon now says, gets here the 26th, gets here January 1st. Things that, if it weren't Christmas, would say, gets here in 2 days. And I noticed some of them say you can pay extra, and they'll try and get here in time. But it's getting tough. It's not everything, that's for sure. There's still stuff, but it's not all of it. And the problem is, even if it says it will get here in time, there's a chance that it might not, because apparently the union that represents some Amazon employees says we're going on strike. And we go on strike this time of year because this is when it hurts. And this is when they'll have to make concessions. Amazon says this union sucks. They don't really represent that many employees, and they tried to strong arm people to get into the unions to begin with, and so they've got their disagreements, that's for sure. But strike's
happening. This morning, a holiday headache that could derail deliveries for Amazon shoppers just days before Christmas. The Teamsters Union announcing some workers at Amazon facilities and delivery drivers will begin striking at locations across the country. The Teamsters say nearly 10,000 delivery drivers and workers at Amazon facilities have joined the union. Amazon employs 1.5 million in its warehouses and corporate offices.
So, I've never been a part of a union before. I've never worked at a union shop or spot. If you're not in the union, and the union, because they had 1 million employees. If you're not in the union, which most of them aren't, and the union goes on strike, is that an opportunity as a non-union member to go, you know what, I'm going to go on strike with you and then join your union?
Well, you can, but I don't know why you haven't joined the union already.
Okay, I just wondered if that's like a moment when people who are not in the union, and a lot of, when I think union, I think of places that are mostly union, where, if you're a scab, it stands out because everyone's union, so you can't cross that picket line. You're not going to cross that picket line. But in a situation like this, where the vast majority of the employees are not part of the union, it sounds like, how does that work? Could that be a moment where you go, well, I want to go on strike. I want more money. And they go, yeah, that's what we've been telling you.
Yeah.
Join the union. And
right.
You can just join up. It's like, I'm going on strike
with
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never been in a union. My dad was in the union for a little while. He worked at one union shop, but the rest of the places he worked didn't have unions either. So, and he was not union for very long, like less than 10 years. It might have been less than 5 years. And yet when he passed away, there was something from his union that went to my mother.
Oh, yeah.
Just from that short period of time that he worked for the union. So I do remember at one point somebody handing out a bunch of flyers. Remember that? Saying, we're starting a new radio union.
Marty.
That's right. He was part of it, I think. Mm-hmm. He was part of it. And it was that other guy, the World's a Fun guy. The guy who makes the coffee biscuits.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if he's still around or not. Nice guy. But I just remember those flyers going out and said, we're starting a new radio union. And I was like, hey, Leslie, look at this. New radio union. What do you think? And you're like, I don't know. Who are these people? Because we were pretty new.
Right.
And then I didn't really see those people anymore. So I was like, well, did they start a union somewhere else? What's going on? Now, we saw, what would you say his name?
There is
Marty.
A radio union. There is one.
There is one. Yeah. Based out of Chicago, I think. Yeah. I had a former coworker. She was in it. She was shocked that we weren't in it. I think it really depends on which city you work in.
When I worked in Detroit, everybody was in it.
And I guess that makes sense. Yeah. It's a union town. But yeah, she was shocked because she just thought, well, wait, I would have thought almost all of you, if not all of you, were in the union. No. Like, no, nobody here is.
Mm-mm.
There's no reason not to be, I guess. I could join. I mean, the company's not going to get mad if I join the union, I don't think. But, I mean, she's in the union. She worked for the same company.
Yeah, I think with one person here, though, it would be weird. We'd have to all unionize. And I don't know. My thing is, I don't know what we would ask for, because if I don't want to come to work, I just don't come.
Well, right. And there's,
I understand why a union works. All my buddies growing up are in a union, when I worked with the truckers, they were all union. I didn't stay there long enough to get in. But I understand why it works. But here, what would we ask for? More days off? Better pay? I don't know.
And pay would be the only thing, because, when I think of unions, I think if you're trying to get better hours, more time off. and you're trying to get better pay.
Yeah.
So we can't really ask for more time off, or we wouldn't even be full-time. We're not actually full-time now, if you just went by a number of hours that we're here. So
I feel like if we ask for more pay, they'd ask us to work more.
That's the problem. It could backfire if we say, like, hey, we want more pay. Or even if we say, hey, we want even more time off, or we want flex days. I think they could start looking into it and say, how often do you work? We're going to start making you clock in just to see how many hours you're here, and then that wouldn't be good for us. So, yeah, it would just have to be a pay thing. And I didn't know how that worked if you're in the union in one city, and you're the only one in that city who's in the union, but then you're in the radio union in another city, and there's a bunch of people there. If they say, hey, we're going on strike, and you're the one person in your city, I'm leaving, and they're like, okay. I guess it just depends on who you are. If you have a lot of juice, then maybe they care, but it ain't me.
I don't think they care if we went on strike.
No. I don't think they would really notice. I mean, our immediate boss would.
Yeah.
He sees us. Beyond that, how long would it take for his bosses?
Do you think anybody knows that we weren't at the Christmas party last night?
No.
You didn't go, did you?
No.
You're a Christmas party guy. I thought you might go.
I know, but you said you're not going, and, you know, it's just, anyhow. No, I didn't go. But I'm glad they do it. And I went to the last two, so I do appreciate it. I'll try and make 2 out of 3. That'll be my rule. But I just didn't feel like it. I don't know. Well, what was your excuse?
Oh, I have the kids.
Oh, well, okay. Well, sure. It's a good built-in excuse, I suppose.
Oh, well,
pretty reasonable.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm saying
you made it seem like I was making it up. Like they are alive and they are children.
No, it's a good.
They looked at my balls at one point.
It's probably the best excuse.
Yeah,
you know, other than maybe a family member is sick or whatever, and I have to run.
No, but then you could just be lying.
Well, right. I'm saying if you actually had it. Yeah, if you actually had it, I'm saying, and then you don't want that. So, yeah. Also, isn't it partially because the last couple of years went to the Christmas party? It felt like, you know, we were trying to figure out what job we could have, like that. And so now it's kind of like, well, feels a little better than
anyway.
Huh?
They're not moving us anywhere else.
Exactly. So, you know, and just feels like we have a real job now. Feels good. So what am I going to do at the Christmas party? Get drunk and make a fool of myself. And I don't need that. Only bad things can come from that. Luigi Mangione. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this guy? Mm-mm. I said something to my mom about it, and she's like, I don't know. I was like, you haven't seen it. And she knew about other stories. She knew about the drones.
Mm-hmm.
I said, the guy who shot the United Healthcare CEO. She's like, huh? And I was like, oh, you haven't heard this? No, she had not heard it. But she'd heard the drone story. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
We all live in our own bubbles. So Luigi Mangione, the story with him today is that he went to New York to be arraigned or whatever. And I don't know why that's big news.
People lining up to get into this courthouse today, including some of his supporters. Luigi Mangione was brought here by Pennsylvania police. He is likely to be taken out by the NYPD. He has two hearings, the first on Pennsylvania charges, the second an extradition hearing. But a source close to the case says he's going to waive that hearing. He will then quickly be taken out of here. He's going to a local airport, and he will be helicoptered back to New York City, where he will quickly be taken to a courthouse in southern Manhattan to be processed, fingerprinted, and arraigned.
Remember when I said, how long will this be a big story? Like, how long until they lose interest, basically? Well, they haven't lost it. I mean, they acted like that's a big story. You know, he's on the move, he's being arraigned, they're fingerprinting him, and, you know, I don't find it all that interesting, necessarily, but, okay, that's a big story.
I feel like it'll get interesting.
It'll get interesting, I think, if they start obviously if they go to trial, that part will be interesting. And I think if the lawyer has something provocative, or like if the lawyer says, this is going to be defense, this is what we're going to do, those updates could be. But I feel like we're at the point now, and today was kind of proof, like, you may not need to dedicate a third of your headline time there to Luigi Mangione until there's something else to talk about. I guess the most interesting thing I saw in that was his supporters out there. And I know every time I'm like, I know he has supporters. But still, it's like, oh, there are his supporters. And they're just right there, out in the open. Just, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be. Whatever they want to do, it's free speech. I've never really seen that I can think of anything like it. If you think back to the other people who had manifestos, I didn't see Ted Kaczynski supporters. Maybe they existed.
I mean, maybe they had some, but not
someone
like this,
falls
for sure.
in love and that stuff, sure. But to actually have like crowds of people and say, look at all these supporters, people offering money for the defense, that
free
I've never
Luigi,
seen
dozens gather in support of Luigi outside Blair County Courthouse.
Yes.
I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember seeing that before. Obviously, there was never been a case quite like this that I can think of in my lifetime. The other people who had manifestos were killing to get attention, which is what Luigi was doing, but he was also targeting someone, right? And saying, I think this guy's the bad guy. And clearly his supporters
agree with him. I got to think, otherwise they wouldn't be supporting him. Whereas Kaczynski, oh, yeah, people just targeted, you know, random people.
I don't know enough about that, so I feel like he did the same thing, right? He sent it to people.
There was a symbolism to it all, I suppose.
Right, yeah.
But to say, like, this guy's a bad guy, I don't think that people are like, I don't like that post, man. You know what I mean? Whereas the CEO of the healthcare company, somehow you got, I say somehow, there's a lot of people out there like, yeah, evil healthcare companies.
Yeah.
Literally saying that he deserves it.
I think Kaczynski was a little too much into, like, this is technology, yes, and it's bad. And I think people are like, okay, whatever. I'm reading this on my phone. It's much easier to dismiss in your head than, this is a guy who's in charge of denying claims for sick people.
Yes.
You killed him. Okay.
Right.
This guy, I mean, it's just much easier. There's no, like, I don't have to think about this.
Yes.
It's very cut and dry.
And his manifesto, quite a bit shorter, if we're calling that a manifesto. Kaczynski's quite a bit longer. Yeah. So, you know, it's just all about attention span.
The Church of Laszlo.
What are you doing?
Did you see this thing about our friends over at Jackass?
No.
And Jamie Foxx?
No.
Okay, I don't know if this is true, because everything just says reportedly, but I felt like maybe we had something close to a confirmation when Johnny Knoxville, his official Twitter, he tweeted something about it. But this was the story that I originally saw, and this one's on WorldStar. I guess it was on TMZ, too. There's one here on Yahoo Entertainment. According to reports, a phallic laser pointer sparked a heated dispute at Jamie Foxx's birthday dinner.
Oh, I heard about the fight.
Yeah, so this is what they're now saying caused the fight, which seems insane. It says, during the celebration at Mr. Chow's in Beverly Hills, someone from the VIP area rented by Jackass production company Dickhouse Productions, projected a penis-shaped laser at Jamie's table, upsetting him, especially since his kids were present.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie went upstairs to confront the group, leading to an altercation. Sources say Jackass Forever stuntman Jasper Dolphin allegedly threw a glass at Jamie, cutting him near the mouth.
I heard that.
Jamie, bleeding, exclaimed, "It's my birthday. What is wrong with you?" Before leaving to get stitches. Now, this says leaving to get stitches. I don't know if that's true. Then, so I'm like, all right, well, are they just joking around about this fight? Because I did see something about him getting in a fight. Are they just joking around about it being the Jackass guys? And then I saw Johnny Knoxville tweeted and said, everyone is commenting about something they know absolutely nothing about. Jasper didn't do a thing, nor did anyone affiliated with Dickhouse initiate violence. I know who did, though, and that truth will come out. And that truth will come out. Are there any updates to that?
Dinner altercation caused by Jackass crew.
There's multiple stories here about it. And then it's caused by a laser pointer that was in the shape of a penis.
Foxx got into an altercation during his birthday dinner because crew members of the Jackass franchise had pointed a laser projecting the image of a penis at his table.
Yeah, and he's offended because he's out to dinner with his children. So he goes to address the incident. That apparently turns aggressive. Now, Johnny Knoxville's saying, no. Dolphin didn't throw anything at Jamie. Isn't that what he said, right? He certainly brought up his name here. He said, Jasper didn't do a thing, nor did anyone affiliated. So he's saying none of us did.
Well, however, a fight broke out when Foxx and his friends confronted the group, which resulted in a Jackass crew member throwing a thick drinking glass and hitting the actor in the mouth.
Okay, so is it that the group that was projecting the laser pointer somehow wasn't the Jackass crew?
No, I think it was. I don't think they're saying that.
I'm saying if Johnny Knoxville's saying Jasper and no one from our crew did anything, that's what Johnny's saying.
Well,
that's
no one incited violence.
Something absolute about it. Jasper didn't do a thing, nor did anyone affiliated with Dickhouse initiate violence. So I'm saying, though, couldn't it be that he comes up and then one of these guys from Jackass comes in to try and break it up and then throws the glass?
Well, like maybe there's another group involved, too. What Johnny's saying is that Jamie Foxx and his guys initiated violence.
Yeah.
So then somebody threw a glass at him.
Right. It says he comes up to confront them. Does it say that it's the Jackass crew?
Does it say anything about that? The reporter that the upstairs section was rented out Friday by Dickhouse Productions, which was owned and operated by Jackass.
So they had the whole upstairs rented out. That had to be who he was going to confront.
Oh, Mr. Chow.
Yeah, that's where they were at.
I didn't know Jackass guys made that much money.
They made a ton of money on those movies.
At least a few of them.
A few of them.
You know?
Yeah, I wonder why they were there. And they rented a play. They rented out the, is that like a, the VIP area?
Attorney Brian Friedman, who represents Dick House, told TMZ, although the crew has the greatest respect for Jamie, the version of events that has been presented is totally inaccurate and deeply unfair to those attending their, oh, is their holiday celebration that night.
Oh, perfect. This is amazing. You know,
well, it was their Christmas party.
Right.
They're up there and they're like, look, there's Jamie Foxx. Put the dick thing on him.
Yes. That's amazing. I mean, we talk about the whole reason to go to a Christmas party or even to not miss a Christmas party is in case something like this happens. But it's been 15 years since something exciting happened at one of ours. So I didn't go last night because I'm like, yeah, was anything going to happen?
Lunch.
Really? But this is why you go. A Christmas party. A Jackass Christmas party. And then Jamie Foxx is out for his birthday. Is that what it said?
Yeah, he's out for his birthday.
So it's his birthday, his and then the Jackass crew's out for their Christmas party, and then someone goes, hey, there's Jamie Foxx. No part of me would believe that if you said the Jackass guys had rented out the VIP section, that much is true, and that a penis-shaped laser pointer was pointed at Jamie Foxx's table in that restaurant. Well, there's no doubt about it. I'm sorry, I have enough circumstantial evidence to know that the Jackass guys were the ones who pointed that laser. Someone affiliated with the Jackass guys pointed that laser. There's just
no doubt
about it.
Well, I think we can all figure out what happened. They pointed the laser, like, wouldn't that be funny? And then Jamie Foxx came up with his buddies and started pushing somebody.
Yeah, it's
angry. And then somebody from the back of the table was like, threw a glass at him.
Yeah, get back. Back off. And I don't know who to root for, because I like them both. Yeah. I mean, I'll go with the Jackass guys here just because I feel
why don't you call our buddy?
Yeah, I guess it doesn't say who all was there.
Nah, he knows.
But it just says, right, so should I just start with Steve-O? And then try Preston? Okay. This is amazing. Well, if they've got a lawyer on it, they told
them
not to talk. Huh? Conference both of them?
Yeah, put them all together.
Oh, try calling them both?
No. Just group text them and see which one will talk to you.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll let you know.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Okay, well, I have not heard back yet.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
From our friends at Jackass. I fear that I won't. As soon as you said their attorney made a statement. I was like, yeah, I'm sure this is all
text us back.
Well, they might, yeah. But I could see him saying we're not allowed to talk about it right now or whatever. But who knows? If anyone's going to say,
it'd be Preston.
Who cares what the lawyer says?
Yeah, he'll be mad because he wasn't invited.
That's what I'm wondering. Was he there? I don't know who was there. I assume Johnny Knoxville, since he tweeted about it. And it's possible that Johnny Knoxville wasn't there. But the way that he tweeted about it made it sound like he was there and he was a witness. But, you know, Jamie Foxx getting stitches. Jamie Foxx had that whole health thing within the last year. He just put that new special out. If you said Jamie Foxx got attacked at a restaurant in L.A. and it led to him having to get stitches, which is what that one article said. I don't know if he actually needed stitches or not, but it said he left to get stitches. I wouldn't believe you if you said, and it was the Jackass guys that did it. Unless Jamie Foxx was participating in some sort of Jackass stunt, and it went awry. That's the only way that makes sense. But no, that's real life in L.A. Those people can be at the same place at the same time. One of the biggest movie stars in the world, and he can be at dinner with his kids for a birthday dinner with his kids, and it's interrupted by a penis-shaped laser from the Jackass guys. Now, for Jamie Foxx, that's nothing, you know, and his resume, when it's all done, that's not even a great story probably for him.
Yeah, for Jackass guys, it's good, they got good another movie for
them.
Out.
Really good for them. And it would be great for either of us. If you or I, if we were at any restaurant in L.A., and we got a penis-shaped laser on us, and then for some reason got angry about it. Actually, what would be your response? If your kids were young, and you took them to dinner at a nice restaurant,
be a little upset.
You'd be annoyed.
I'd be annoyed if they kept putting up penis.
But if you went over and saw a bunch of guys that, you know, look like the guys from Jackass.
Oh, I wouldn't be scared.
No, I know, but you just see a big group of them. It's not so much
I'm like,
scared.
Yo, quit putting the penis on my table.
I think they look like they've got nothing to lose. Like, they're going to attack in groups. Yeah. You know what I mean? And they're the kind of guys that they don't care if you throw poo at them. Like, that's what they do for a living. So, yeah, I don't know how you de-escalate once you realize it's the Jackass guys. Jamie Foxx had to know who they were. If Johnny Knoxville's there, I think Jamie Foxx has been in Jackass clips at some point. Has he not?
On that, I don't know.
I feel like he's been in one of those clips. You know, they had all those different celebrities that would introduce things. For some reason, I thought he was, but maybe not. Either way, I would think he knows who they are. In that moment, he might not. Johnny Knoxville, I think he would recognize him. But I would give just about anything to have video of that altercation. Of all the of all the videos that I'd like to see, the celebrity behind the scenes thing, I would kill to see this one. It would have been a great addition to the last Jackass movie, and it could be enough to motivate them to do another Jackass movie. The fact that you're throwing glasses at Jamie Foxx, and if Jamie Foxx does need stitches and you're the one who threw the glass, one thing we got to do, Lazo, if we're in a group and I throw the glass, you have to help, along with anyone else who is part of our group, to obstruct justice a little bit and say, it wasn't him that threw the glass. I don't know who threw the glass. I saw the glass come flying, because what I don't need is to be in court having thrown a glass at Jimmy Fox at Lady Gaga's
stitches. And to defend yourself about putting a penis on a dinner table.
Least
of
my worries.
There.
Least of my worries. Oh, yeah, well, I guess, is do you get in trouble for that?
A penis, I don't know, but I don't want to defend it.
I'm more worried about the fact that I gave this movie star stitches. He potentially got, if you got a, if you got cut on your lip and you need stitches.
Well, well yeah, whatever. Everybody's got money to pay for that. I just don't.
But that could scar. You could have a scar, Lazo. He's a big movie star. That face is worth a lot of money to him.
Make a good point.
To us, it doesn't matter. We'd look cooler with the scar. But for him, he might be mad. I don't know. I'm waiting for something that comes out that says Jamie Foxx has talked, or Johnny Knoxville, or somebody, and here is officially what has been said. But right now, it's just all these things.
I looked up the Mr. Chow menu. You know, they serve squab.
Well, I don't know. What's squab?
Pigeon.
Oh, I've heard people talk about eating pigeon.
It's squab.
It's very expensive, correct?
Well, let's see how much a squab is. I don't know how much a squab is. Mr. Chow, two-course dinner for two. First course is squab with lettuce. Mr. Chow's spare ribs, of course, it says. Fiery beef and gambler's duck. How much do you think that costs, Mr. Chow?
Oh, so it's all of that in one? That's
so for two people, enough for two.
Oh, I'll say $140.
$136, you're right on it.
Hey, not wow, bad. That was really good. I went over
slightly.
What
about Mr. Chow was a little more expensive? It's not too bad.
Well, yeah, considering you're in L.A. and it's a restaurant people have heard of. And
Mr.
You're eating,
Chow is like for the elite.
Yeah, and you're eating pigeon. Not pigeon, you're eating pigeon.
I would never even think to go into Mr. Chow. I'm like, I can't afford Mr. Chow.
No, I don't think I would either.
I know, like, oh, you can.
Yeah, for like a nice night.
I don't spend that much.
No,
but
like a birthday dinner or whatever, you can make it happen. Once you start getting into the $500 tabs,
steam sea bass, $42.
Yeah, that's there's restaurants here where you can pay more than that for
lamb shank, $38. It's not bad.
Okay, maybe we'll have to check it out next time we're there. Who am I kidding? We're not going back.
Sliced pork with chili, $19. I don't know what a shepherd's purse is. I need a.
Well, is it like a shepherd's pie?
That's
but it's
a purse.
So what would make it a purse?
Or something, but it's beef with shepherd's purse.
With shepherd's purse.
Emperor's crab. $36.
Okay. Hey, that's not bad. That's like, I feel like we could eat there, Lazo. We wouldn't need to eat there regularly, but we could go in there. If someone invited us to dinner, we could go out. We're not going to pay for everyone's meal.
No.
But we could
be all right.
We could cover our own tab. Yeah, be no problem.
I'm a little upset that now I get why the Jackass guy's there. Why is Jamie Foxx eating at this cheap-ass place for his birthday
dinner?
Well,
it's not cheap. It's not cheap.
He's
got his kids with him. He's got his kids with him.
I mean, it ain't crazy.
You gonna take your kids?
It ain't much more than bowling.
It's a birthday dinner, though. You know, to him, it's probably like going out to the hibachi grill. It's probably similar to that, right? It's kind of fun for them. Maybe even seems kind of cheap. I don't know. How much money do you think celebrities of that caliber spend on dinner when they go out? I'm not saying at most, but like just on average. I don't know how high the average price gets at these places. I know I've seen some menus from New York that are extremely expensive where you wait on a waiting list for over a year.
I'm just saying, it sounds like, Jamie Foxx should be doing better.
Yeah, I think he's doing okay.
But I'm just,
you're saying he should be making better choices?
I think there's a reason why your kids don't love you.
Who said his kids don't love him?
Me.
Why would you say that?
Just where he took him for a birthday dinner.
I think they clearly love him. When he was sick, they were the ones talking to people on social media and telling him. And he said that his kids got him through that whole ordeal. Mm-hmm. You didn't even watch the special, did you?
Of course not.
You didn't even watch the new Jamie Foxx special. Have you ever watched one of his specials?
I don't like him because he's a bad dad.
Oh, because he's a bad dad. Because he takes his kids to cheap restaurants.
From birthday
dinner. These hash-slinging diners.
Guy's worth $10 billion. He's taking them to Mr. Chow's.
It's $130 for two people. Yeah, well,
not cool.
We don't know that that's what he's eating.
No, but I'm just saying, it's available.
People like it.
Cool.
People like it. That restaurant is talked about. I think his kids love him. So I think you should back off that just a little
bit.
But I am curious how much you think Jamie Foxx, since he is a multi-millionaire, how much do you think he would spend on a birthday dinner with his family? Honestly. Say like five people are there and they're going out for a birthday dinner. To me, that seems, that's not that surprising. I want to say it's like us going to Chili's. It's not, because us going to Chili's would hurt our wallets a lot more than...
No, it is like us going to Chili's.
Well, I'm saying percentage. Well, sort of, except that Chili's hurts me more than Mr. Chow's hurts him, because he's not worried about what anything costs at Mr. Chow's. So it's a little different. But yes, it would be like the, I guess, the equivalent so far as fanciness of it all. Hey, we're going to keep it casual. They're keeping it casual by going there. He's a celebrity, and so for them, that's casual. So that, I'll bet you could easily ring up a tab of over $1,000 for your family. Mm. And I don't know how much liquor costs there, but I'm sure he's getting wasted.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, it sounds like they've been drinking. If you leave a restaurant with stitches because you got into a fight with the guys from Jackass, I would think maybe even drinking, but I don't know. Maybe the penis laser was it, and that's all it takes. And at first I thought, well, that seems like an overreaction, but the more I thought about it, if I was out with Lazo, if kids are there, they're young, someone's shining a penis laser on us, I could see Lazo getting pretty annoyed. Like, very annoyed. And I could see Lazo going to confront the guys doing it. And I could see the type of guys that would shine a penis laser not being super apologetic from the moment Lazo walked over. So, yeah.
No, actually.
I guess things could escalate. I guess
especially when you're in a place as cheap as that.
God, give it up.
Not like you're in a nice restaurant or anything. Like, penis laser, it's like you complain about kids screaming at Denny's. Whatever.
The Church of Laszlo.
Am I going to get the hell out of here?
Getting closer, man.
Jesus Christ.
I feel like you say this every day around this time.
Well, no. I mean, but really.
I know. This time is for real? This time you mean it?
Yeah, this time I mean it, buddy.
Yeah. I get it. Well,
oh, boy.
Big plans. Got something you need to get home and stream? Watch something?
Oh, God, yeah. That thing to do.
Just stuff to do.
Just that thing, you know.
Have you been watching anything good, by the way? Because you gave up on Tupelo.
No Good Deed with Ray Romano.
Oh, yeah. Did you like that?
I did.
Okay.
I actually, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I don't think you'd like it.
That's what you were saying. I saw the trailer and thought, maybe.
You're like, oh, I don't like this. You get nitpicky about stuff. That's I hear you and Snow don't talk about plot holes and stuff. Okay, whatever, dude. Like, I don't care. They wrote it the way they wrote it. But I could see you two getting mad at it.
I saw the trailer for it. I thought...
I really enjoyed it.
It's one of those things that, I'll add to my list, because I might want to watch it someday, and I'll never watch it. Never. Yeah. I think that person who made that show made another show that you mentioned.
Yeah.
That was also on my list and has been there for 3 years because I said, I might watch that someday, and never did. It's hard for me to get started on a drama series, and especially in the age of binging, because I'm like, all right, there's 10 hours
right,
of this.
Yeah.
You know? But it is broken up, so you're like, I'll just watch an episode. Makes it easier to try and comprehend,
I can get through this.
But it's just, there's so many of those. I am watching Jackal, which is
a
series, right? And I'd heard people talking about it. And that's out of my wheelhouse, too, because it's like a, Bourne Identity kind of thing.
Right. But you're enjoying it?
James Bond kind of thing. Yeah, and now I got to the point where I was like, man, this must be the last episode. And when it ended, we go, it's half of the episodes.
Mm.
So now I'm kind of like,
okay.
I liked it better when I thought that it was almost over. It definitely held my attention in the first half, but I'm going to finish it. But I saw this stat today that seems really genuinely hard to believe, but maybe it's true. I mean, how long do you think each night you spend searching for something to watch? Just scrolling through the different
menus?
Sometimes
a lot.
Like, I mean, I do too, but I'm trying to think, what is a lot?
I mean, I can scroll through it and then just come up with nothing and not watch anything.
And sometimes you start, will you open the apps in order and then do you ever go back and start over? Like, I guess I'll go back to Netflix where I started.
Yeah, for sure.
I've done that. And I'm trying to think, all right, about how long does that take? I don't know. I'd like to think that I don't spend an hour at any given time searching for something to watch, but maybe I do. But the other thing is, I do know that I watch TV basically every day. So every night I'm looking for something to watch, right? So maybe this stat isn't that hard to believe, because they say that the average American spends 110 hours a year searching for something to watch. 110 hours a year.
Well, that's fair.
It just seems, when you think about like how much time is in a week.
30 minutes a day or so. A little less than 30 minutes a day.
Right. That seems like a lot.
Not really.
I guess
maybe
it's not.
How many times do you turn it on?
Well, you know, it helps also that a lot of times when I get home, Brooke has already said, this is out, you know, and she's kind of got them ready.
Even if you just woke up, even if you just turned on cable or whatever, scrolled through all the channels, that's 10 minutes.
Yeah, I haven't had cable in a long time, but you're right.
And even if you just open up Netflix and scrolled through, that's 10 minutes, 30 minutes a day.
I can definitely
scroll more than 30 minutes a day.
You think you do more than 30 a day?
Absolutely.
Okay. And I might, too.
I mean, even if I'm just going through YouTube TV to find the football game.
Okay.
Well, that's 2, 3, 4 minutes, right? I mean, you start adding them up.
Yeah, so that's almost, 168 hours in a week. If we really think about it in waking hours, then 110 hours at least, if not a little bit more. So you hear those stats about how long you spend at a red light over the course of your life. And what is that stat that everyone throws out? A year or two, and you're like, okay, I guess. I don't know. Life sucks, whatever. It's a lot of just waiting around. But I spend a week of my life every year just looking for something to watch. I guess. I don't know. Start recommending something for me to watch, and I'll watch it. Tonight I'll just watch whatever that thing is you just said.
No Good Deed.
No Good Deed. I'll just start it tonight. I'm not looking at the trailer again. I'm just going to watch it.
Up next, speaking in tongues.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
I want to show you something. I know you're not a huge sci-fi fan, but I just want to show you this and see if that looks familiar to you at all.
It's a Star Wars thing. One of the, I don't know if what group flew it, but they flew it into the center of the big spaceship.
Wow! Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking maybe he'll say Star Wars. No part of me thought that you'd give me details about them blowing up the Death Star and everything.
Yeah,
Death Star. You did pretty good, yeah. And all you really needed to know was it's from Star Wars. Because it is, I think it's iconic enough that even if you're not a sci-fi fan or Star Wars fan, you might recognize it. Do you know what that's a picture of? Why I was showing you that, though?
No.
So, this is from Newsweek. Doug Mastriano, he's now facing questions about his competence for office as people are making fun of his post on Twitter. That's his photo that he posted there. It had a caption that indicated that a crashed drone was retrieved from the water at Orange Beach. However, that drone in question was a prop from Star Wars. I am a little curious about this prop from Star Wars.
Yeah,
was
why it is that actually, on a truck? And why is it moving around?
Right. Is it actually, like, is it a prop that they're using in the show in one of the movies? Why is it driving around Pennsylvania? So he's a Republican from Pennsylvania, and, of course, there's all this talk about drones.
And what if they made the drones look like those?
That's true.
Maybe he wouldn't be wrong.
Sure. I mean, this thing's massive. We've heard of the drones that are 8 feet wide, but this thing is a lot bigger than 8 feet. It's taking up. It says wide load on the back of that truck. You see how big that thing is?
Yeah.
It's the size of a trailer. It's huge. So that would be the biggest drone I've ever seen. But yeah, he posted a picture of it, and then this is what he said. It's inconceivable that the federal government has no answers, nor has taken any action to get to the bottom of the unidentified drones. The fecklessness of this administration was on display last year when a Chinese surveillance balloon was allowed to fly over the entire continental United States before being shot down. Now, is it possible that he could just say, hey, I just took a picture of something because we're talking about space, whatever. I didn't have a picture of a drone in front of me. He doesn't, in that post, doesn't specifically say, look at the size of this drone. Yeah. If that's the, because I assume they're saying that that's the caption from that tweet, right? This is Newsweek. I trust Newsweek enough. Inconceivable that the federal government has no answers. And I like the fecklessness of this administration, too.
Did someone send him that, or was he driving? It looks like it's a car.
It looks like he took the picture from his car, or what's I guess name? That somebody did. Doug Mastriano from Pennsylvania. And I'd seen something that said an elected official post picture of Star Wars prop, thinking it's a drone. I saw that several times before I actually clicked on it and saw the picture of what he had posted. And I thought, okay, well, that is pretty bad. That's pretty embarrassing. I mean, maybe he's done something more embarrassing. Maybe no one will care. You know, tomorrow they probably won't care. But I would think that the next time we hear about this guy, we'll go, that's the Star Wars guy.
Well, he doesn't have it up anymore.
That's the Star Wars guy. Well, I would hope not. It's bad enough that
you
would take it down.
Oh, it's still there.
Oh, it is?
It is inconceivable that really the federal government has no answers, nor has taken any.
And there's the picture of it? I would have thought for sure he got rid of it. At least got rid of the picture. Did he just leave the tweet up and then take down the photo?
Okay, so somebody posted that picture as a joke that said breaking news.
Yes.
And then he just talked about it then.
So he's responding to a joke thing saying, yes. Look at this crashed drone.
Right.
Okay. Well, you know, Newsweek, you could have been a little more fair to the guy.
Yeah, somebody else. So he just, like, posted a picture and then posted on top of it.
So he's, like, responding to it or quote tweeting it or whatever, like a retweet.
Right. And then he said, then he replied later, thank God for X. Corrupt media lacks a sense of humor and irony. Multiple outlets fabricated a story out of this. So he was saying I was being sarcastic.
Which I would, too. And maybe he was.
And then he posted another one, and it was like a picture of an Amish car. With a
buggy?
Yeah, with a propeller on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, another over Pennsylvania.
Well,
more accurate than Star Wars prop. So.
Okay, well, do you believe that he was being sarcastic the first time around? I think he could have looked at it. I don't think, you could be honest, dude. Just say, I saw you guys were posted something about it, and I was just responding to the post that was talking about drones. I saw you guys talking about drones. I didn't look at it all that closely, and I just said, here, I want to talk about drones and how pissed off I am about the whole situation.
You know, just reading his post, I don't think he was being sarcastic.
No.
I think he just saw a picture of it, read the news story, and posted it, and didn't think much about it.
And would that be so bad if he just said, I didn't know, I just saw this. I am mad about the drone response and what's been going on. I just saw this and commented and didn't read the story or know that it was a joke. I don't know. Maybe what he did is the right way to do it. Just, I'm sure he has people that tell him, just say it was a joke. Now, sir, post a picture of this buggy.
Yeah,
right, put a propeller on it. Yeah.
Either way.
The Church. With the Church of Laszlo.
So I was scrolling through my Instagram. I don't know if you saw this yet, but Bobby Witt Jr. got married. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Apparently got married. There's pictures of him with Sal, his wife.
Did you?
Wow.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of her. I guess I thought that they were married.
Well, no, I guess it just said that he had a Witty Burger instead of a Whataburger. She must have had like a little stand in there, and they all said Witty on him.
Okay. Well,
which I thought was clever.
I think they showed her. They showed his family during the playoffs, sitting in the booth. And I swear I'd seen her at some point before, but maybe it was just the playoffs.
I don't know.
So, I mean, he's young. How old is he?
Oh, he's young. I don't know. Bobby Witt Jr.
I'm going to say 25. You think that's a good guess?
He was born in 2000.
Okay. Well, I keep going over today. Sorry, but it was pretty close. Pretty close. Mm. Like as close as you can be with going over. Is he the... Brooke keeps asking me this. She's like, now, wait a second. Because I was talking about DeSoto, or Juan Soto, I mean. And I was telling her about the, you know, him going to the Mets and all that. And then she's like, well, who's he? So I'm kind of trying to explain. And then she's like, well, wait. So who's the best player in baseball? I thought the Japanese guy was the best player in baseball. I was like, well, he probably is. And then she goes, okay, but then during the playoffs, you kept telling me that Aaron Judge and Bobby Witt were both two of the best players in baseball. I'm like, well, they are two of the best players of the best players. She's like, but you acted like Bobby Witt might be like the second best. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm a Royals fan, you know.
Right.
But and she's like, so
I think Bobby Witt is one of the greatest players on the planet. I think Ohtani doing whatever. We don't have to get into baseball. That's not what I was trying to talk about.
I am, sorry.
Tell your fiance.
They're all good.
She wants to just read a book.
read a baseball book?
Yeah, read a book on baseball.
Just believe me.
Yeah, but, so, her name, anyway, I was looking at it, man. First off, his wife is just, you know.
Stunning.
Stunning. The same with Mahomes' wife. She's stunning. And I know people dislike, I don't know anything about his wife. I had to look her up. Her name's Maggie, I guess. I don't know anything about her. Mahomes' wife catches a bunch of crap, and I always say, like, just leave her alone. Like, whatever, you know. Like, I don't understand why people hate her. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. She seems fine. Has she done things that, like, I'm like, I wish you wouldn't have done that? Sure. But does she seem like a bad person? No. And why would I, like, there's subreddits, like, just dedicated to hate of her. I'm like, I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Yeah, I feel like maybe it comes with age, too, because I think of them as being young and rich. And
they seem nice. They try to help the city.
I know.
They built a stadium for women's sports, like, whatever.
Yeah.
They seem to, but anyway, that's not what I'm getting at. The truth of the matter is, but like, I'm looking at pictures of him. Now, don't get me wrong. He's an athlete, right? And Patrick Mahomes is an athlete. And, you know, maybe arguably you could say, you know, the greatest players at their sport on the planet right now. Man, they're dorky-looking dudes, aren't they?
He's kind
of
dorky.
He is. Like, I'm looking at pictures at his wedding. He's got, like, a cowboy hat on. And that haircut he's got. I'm like, what are you with the mullet and everything? And then, look, I know, you know, people, look. Patrick Mahomes, what? I mean, both these guys are clearly better looking than me. So, I get it, you know. This isn't a competition between me and them. I'm just thinking, like, and then Mahomes, you know, the way he runs off the field with his little hand up like this.
Yeah, that always bothers you.
Little knock-knee dude, like, okay, and every time his pants are too tight in the thighs and stuff. Like, it's just a weird-looking dude. Like, and again, great guys, both of them. But I'm always like, has there ever been, and I use this because I think they both may be the greatest players at their respective sport on the planet, and their wives are stunning, right? Has there ever been, like, when you go back through your mind, you're like, okay, I'm thinking about who the greatest players were of decades and generations. You're like, Joe Montana, that was a good-looking dude, right? Like,
yes.
Brady, that dude's stunning to look at, right? Like, they just came off as cool, right?
Yes, but here's what I will say about, and I've thought this about Mahomes before, and I'm thinking about it with Witt as I'm looking at pictures of him right now. First of all, Witt looks like a country singer who's opening up for someone tonight. You know what I mean? That's what he looks like. He's opening
at a
up
local bar.
Yes, opening like up for right. at a small
venue. And you're
venue.
Like, dude, zip it.
He's a country singer, and he is technically on tour because he's in a van with a couple other guys, but that's what he looks like, a country singer to me. I think Mahomes will look cooler as he gets older. I think he still has a lot of childlike features. When I see him, and I know he's in his 20s, but if you go back and look at Brady when he was in his early to mid-20s, he actually got better looking.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he was dorky looking, but he got better. There was a time when Brady was
kind
of dorky looking.
Weird haircuts and they dress. It's just
that could just be a generation.
Everything
thing.
Is,
I don't know.
Well, I'm looking at younger guys that are not like that.
Well, yeah, I mean,
right,
yeah,
like other players, you're like, you know,
I don't know what's popular and what's not. I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I'm saying what you look at guys who are 24 who are playing in Major League Baseball. I look at. Have you seen the Shohei Ohtani New Balance commercial?
A million times.
Me and Euro watching the other day. We're like, dude's just cool, man.
He's good looking too.
Cool.
Actually,
he is, and like, there's something the way he in part of that commercial. If you Google it. He's got, like, the bat in his hand, and he takes two steps back.
Yep.
And you're like, I don't have the ability to step back like that.
No, he looks cool.
It's really cool the way you step back. Like, I just look at these guys, I'm like, it is really uncool the way you step forward. Like,
well, you criticize Mahomes a ton. So
I'm not the only one. I've been doing it for years, and then all of a sudden
obviously
I start seeing it
there's
on,
haters, of course.
On Instagram about how he walks.
They hate us because they ain't us. That's why. But you're living here making fun of him. That said, you're a Lions fan, whatever. I get it. I do think that Mahomes, when I see him on TV commercials, first of all, I think he's good at the TV commercials. He's not great. And I think he'll probably get better at the TV commercials as time goes on. Maybe he won't, but you know he's not Peyton Manning, and I don't expect him to be. Peyton Manning was probably the best at doing those commercials. That's the reason he's still doing those commercials.
Right. But Peyton Manning, a little dorky, but he owns it.
Yes.
Like, even in the commercials, I just saw one the other day, and the lady brought him a sweater, and he goes, I like a quarter zip. That's a little bit more like a half zip.
He's playing the very dorky-like guy.
Right. Him and Eli both play it very well.
Whereas Bobby Witt is kind of, he's got that country singer. Yeah. He's got the mullet and all that. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of.
They're both from Texas.
But, yeah.
And they're trying to pull that off, but I'm like, boy.
I think they'll look better as they get older. I think we should put a pin in this.
I'll stab you.
Look at it 10 years from now. Because just look at pictures of, go back and look at pictures of Brady when he was young. And, I don't know, go back and look at a lot of those guys when they were young. A lot of them, for whatever reason, they got cooler looking as they got older.
Yeah, of course. They have better PR people, and they get more money and all that stuff. But
and also, just they look different as they get older.
Mahomes is there, man. Like, okay, if you want to tell me that Bobby Witt's going to get better PR people and a better haircut and not look so weird, okay. But Mahomes is in every commercial there is. He's got all the money in the world. Like, his wife is incredibly hot, and I mean this in the nicest way, Pat, because I know you listen, And she's put together, like, fashion-wise and fashion sense. You know what I mean? Like, there's no part of me that ever looks at her and, like, what is she dressed in? I know maybe some women do, but just as a normal human being and not being catty about it, you're like, man, she's got her stuff together. She looks good. She's beautiful. And then I see him, and I'm like, what are you doing?
You got totally
ripped up jeans. They're all acid wash with Oakleys and... You're dancing around with knock knees. Stop it.
I think he looks fine.
Oh, really?
I do. He's young. He looks to me like he's pulling it off. Now, the little hand thing, okay. Maybe you just got that in my head. But the little hand thing.
Like this, like walking, like, what are you doing?
Twinkle fingers.
People are like, oh, he wants to get the play in faster. That's why. Well, do it this way. Or put your hands up. There's a million ways. Like normal guys.
Give me that one.
Normal guys who put their hands on their ears. Like, get the play into me. Not, like, what are you doing? It's so weird.
It does take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo.
Yo. Well, I mean, look, I got to be honest. I feel like if they had just gone to this guy to begin with, this drone thing probably wouldn't have become nearly as big a story. People like to think that there's something interesting going on. There's leaked radiation. There's aliens. People like to think about that stuff. You don't, Laszlo.
No.
But people do, obviously. I mean, let me ask you, as someone who's not into that stuff, why else would the drones have been such a big story for the last month, especially the last few weeks? It's because people like unsolved mysteries, right? It's because people like to think.
Of course.
I mean, that's what it is. And because you're very logical, I think sometimes once these things go on long enough, you go, all right, now you got my attention because I want to know what the logical explanation for this is so we can just say, this
is
it.
Let's go.
Here's the logical thing.
And
well, so they talked to that smart guy, the physicist. I've heard people say he might be the smartest guy in the world. I've heard him compared to Albert Einstein, like the modern day Albert Einstein. If you look him up, Dr. Kaku, K-A-K-U.
Dr. Kaka.
Kaku. You'll see pictures of him.
Dr. Kaka.
And I think you'll recognize him.
Dr. Kaka. How do you spell it?
Kaku.
Kaku?
Kaku, yes.
Is it one word?
K-A-K-U.
Are you saying it twice?
No, Dr. Kaku.
Kaku.
Kaku is his name. That's his last name.
Dr. Kaku?
That's it. You got it. If you look him up, I think you'll recognize him because he's on TV quite a bit. And unless he's been edited in the past to try and sound like he's saying things he's not. I've seen him in documentaries. He sounds like someone who believes in UFOs, and at least not saying that they're little green men,
but saying that
people have seen things that are physically, and filmed things that are physically impossible for human beings to create. And I know that's one of the things you've disagreed on. Like, well, we thought it was physically impossible, but somebody's created it. I've heard him talk about those things. He sounds very open-minded about stuff, and he's at least open-minded like, hey, that's not human-made. Whatever it is, it's not something flying around that a person made or a group of people made because we can't do that. It breaks the laws of physics. So I feel like this could have gone either way. When you say, what's with all the stuff that they're seeing in the sky? Maybe he says, well, finally, it's about time you guys looked up at the sky, and you're starting to see how many UFOs there are up there. But that is not what he said. He gave a pretty black-and-white answer that is pretty boring and also satisfied me to the point where I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with the drone thing now. This was once he said
Michio
this.
Michio Kaku?
Yep, that's him. I was like, I don't need
I've
to
never
hear
seen that dude before in my life.
Was he on Star Trek? No, he's a scientist. He's on documentaries.
Is he in Cobra Kai?
No. That's all you've ever watched?
Boy, he looks familiar.
No, he's not in those things. Yes, he is on. He's on the news a lot, and he's in documentaries, a ton of documentaries. But maybe not a lot of the ones that you would watch.
Are you sure he's not in Cobra Kai?
I don't know. I've not seen all of Cobra Kai.
I think he might be in Cobra Kai.
Maybe he is. Maybe he acts sometimes. I'm not sure. I did not know this, but apparently I have heard a lot of talk about how this drone epidemic has made a lot of people say we need to push for new laws regulating drones, mm-hmm. where they can fly, when they can fly. And apparently the government of at least New Jersey, I don't know if it's the federal government, had said you can fly your drones at night. Yeah, just fly your drones at night. Okay, well, I mean, did you need to say that? Or drones didn't used to exist, so this didn't have to be a thing that we addressed. So at some point, did you say it wasn't okay to fly them at night? And now you're saying it is? But whatever the case, he says they made this the rule. Okay, you can fly. If you're a hobbyist, you got a drone, and you want to fly it around at night, you can fly that around at night. And he said because they allowed that to happen, you started to see a bunch of people flying drones around at night. suddenly, because before I guess they weren't allowed to. And once it happened, you see a bunch of people spotting these drones. And then he says the U.S. government makes a whole thing worse with their response by saying, hey, we don't really know what this is, because he believes them. So get that. Like, I think he's saying he believes that maybe they don't know what all these are, because they can't identify each and every one of them. So, but that's why they just say, but we don't think they pose a threat, because they don't think they pose a threat. But you're making it worse by saying you don't know what they are.
The government made it worse by saying, A, that these things are harmless, but B, they don't know where they come from or what they are. How do you know that something is harmless unless you know what it is and where it came from? So I think this crisis is self-inflicted. It's basically the government shooting itself in the foot, realizing, oh my God, we opened the gates. A whole stampede of amateurs are now flying these drones out there.
And then their response, he says, is no good. That's as simple as that. He says they start letting them fly them at night. They start flying them at night. People go, why am I seeing all these lights moving around at night? Well, because I guess suddenly if you're a drone operator, you know it's legal to fly these things at night now, which I don't know. I don't have any drones with lights on them, so I don't know what the rules surrounding drones are. But he says, so then you get all these people starting to fly these drones at night, and people who don't fly drones, like us, look up and go, what is all that stuff in the sky? The government goes to look, and they can't identify each and every single one of these drones, because it's different people flying different drones. But the government knows, like, they know that much, probably. It's just people. It's just dorks flying their drones around. So when they go to give a press conference, they can't say exactly who's doing it, but they can say, we don't think it's a risk. We don't think that you're in any type of harm. We don't think that this poses any type of threat. We think you're okay. And he said that was, even though it's the honest answer, it just made things worse. So he says it's all self-inflicted. They let the kids fly their drones at night. Like, why didn't the media say that earlier, if that's the case, that this is a new thing, that they can suddenly fly their drones at night?
6-foot-wide drones?
That one drone that was 6 foot wide has been talked about.
Explain that one.
Right. I never saw it.
You say it's one. Nobody else says it's one.
Well, I've only heard about it.
I heard about several in New Jersey.
Okay.
But you keep saying it's one. But even if that's it, even if it's one, who has a 6-foot drone?
I don't know.
Doesn't sound like some kid's backyard.
I did see people going out with drones to try and figure out what the other drones were. And some of the drones that these people were out, now I don't know who they worked for, but they were massive. Massive. But those were, I don't know, some sort of professionals, because they were going out trying to identify these other drones. So you're saying you don't think his answer is satisfactory. I didn't know if you would or not. That's why I brought it to you. Because I heard it this morning first. I was like, oh, come on. Same thing. Like, well, that's too many. Why all at once? Where are the big drones coming from? And then the more I thought about it, I was like, maybe they did just all start flying drones at night because it became legal.
Why all at once?
He's saying that they made it legal. Like, it wasn't before, I guess, to be flying these things
at
night in certain airspace.
When did they make it legal?
I don't know, but he said it was their fault when they made it legal.
Like, 2 weeks ago? November?
Well, it would have had to have been around then to make sense. You're right. They would have had to have done it. They would have had to have done it all at once.
Well, then I think everybody would have put two and two together. If there was some sort of law that was passed in November that said you can now fly drones at night, at least I feel like the media would have been like, hey, they passed this law and now we're seeing a bunch of drones.
Yeah, I did.
That's not the case.
I kept seeing stuff about how the government now wants to reverse some of the things that they've allowed with drones, but I didn't know what that meant. And that they need to make new laws restricting where drones can fly and what times they can fly. And I thought, that's got to already be a rule, though, right? Maybe you're saying you want to restrict it more, but... And we talked about that. We talked about just that on the show of, I don't know, last week or earlier this week. There are plenty of places that I assume you get in trouble if you're flying a drone, like near the airport. I told you right. They shut down the rides at Worlds of Fun because somebody's flying a drone. Like, there's places I don't think you're supposed to fly drones. But this guy's like the smartest guy on the planet. He says, Lazo, it's all hobbyists. It's all hobbyists. And then the government's response made us all conspiracy theorists. I don't know. And this is a guy who, like I said, acts like he sometimes believes in UFO, alien UFOs. So I don't know. He's not like one of these people who just comes out there all the time and says, I want to rain on everybody's parade and be a skeptic about everything. And I've seen him in those UFO documentaries. He seems open to that stuff, but not on this one. He says it's all dorks with their drones. Maybe someone has a 6-foot drone. I don't know. Well, I'm not a drone person.
They say they've seen them, and this says weight matters. This is from CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And more than unusual, approval from the FAA. You have to get approval to fly drones more than 55 pounds.
55 pounds?
Right.
Jesus, that would be a big drone.
according to the president of the Warren Community College in New Jersey, who is studying unmanned aircraft.
Okay, if they're flying drones that big, then I could see where some of those people said they heard noises that sounded like helicopters. Because I got to imagine that if you got a drone that's 55 pounds, it probably does make a lot of noise.
Tens of thousands of dollars. They said hobbyists would have to be paying tens of thousands of dollars for these drones.
Okay, so it's something they could buy, but they probably wouldn't be able to afford.
Most often, big drones are used for commercial or military purposes.
Yeah,
agriculture, to survey or spray fields.
Oh, yeah, infrastructure, those crop spraying ones are huge.
Of roads and buildings, or for mapping.
Have you seen the crop spraying? Drones are they're pretty big. Those might be 6 feet. They are big. Okay, so you can buy them, but you probably wouldn't. Tens of thousands of dollars. My whole thing, though, too, is like as this story started to snowball, how many of the drones, how could they tell how big they are, first of all? I never really understood that. But then also, because you can't even totally identify most of them in the sky. You're seeing lights moving around. But then, yeah, how many... Are there drones available to the public that are 6 feet? How many of these drones were 6 feet? You know, that sort of stuff. The more I thought about what this guy said, I was like, maybe it is all just people with drones and the government just had a crappy response to the whole thing. But if you're not going with it, then I was thinking you would go with it. And I know you're the skeptic.
No,
so
I'm not.
I was ready to say, you know what? I've dedicated too much time. America's dedicated too much time to this whole drone thing. Let's just be done with it.
But you think it's just dudes flying their drones?
Every night they wake up
and they're like, America's freaking out. What are these drones? They're like, let me fly my drone again?
That's kind of what he's saying, yeah, that more people started doing it once people started spotting the drones. Because when the stories first started to happen, there wasn't much. It was just a little snippet here or there. I'm sure it was local news in Jersey, but it wasn't talked about much. And then here, it just started to get a little bigger and a little bigger to the point where we finally talked about it on the show. And then it became like the story. For almost 2 weeks, if not two full weeks. And so it did feel like, at that point, obviously, there could be copycat people out there who are trying to join in and get their drones in the air. I don't know. But then how many people have drones? We have to do this. They're just going out and buying more drones. Now you're making me question. I don't know. So you think it's the government still? You think it's their drones?
Well, here we go. We'll find out. Because 8 hours ago, the FAA... has issued a temporary drone ban in parts of New Jersey.
Okay, they said they're going to do it statewide for certain times of day at least. So I don't know when that's happening or if they're sure that's going to happen, but they said they are going to start passing more restrictions about drones. I thought yesterday they said they were going to shoot one down. They gave those guys the drone busters, and there was talk that they were going to shoot one of them down if it came within a certain distance of that airfield, which they acted like they'd been doing every day. I was really hopeful that yesterday one of them would get shot down. We figure out where it came from. I would kind of assume that the government has the ability to look at a drone and go, okay, here's the license number on it, like the serial number. I don't know, like they emit some sort of a signal that says, here's my serial number. This is what kind of drone I am. Maybe they don't do that. I don't know. I'm not a drone person.
I don't know.
So you think it's the government?
I think our government has drones up there.
And
yes.
You think that's...
I don't know why, but
that's
yeah.
What caused the... All these sightings.
I don't think it's just a bunch of dudes in New Jersey in Monmouth County flying drones around.
You think that the government
too
was
much.
Up there with drones, or at least
now,
was
do
up
I
there.
Think now, are there people with drones putting them up? Sure.
Yeah.
But do I think that originally that's what happened? There was just like 18 dudes with drones who were like, let's put them up over New Jersey. And fly them around, and then people are like, what are those? Like, yeah, no, I don't.
So they could have been looking for the radioactive stuff.
Right, people they like, could have been drones, doing whatever.
Whatever.
Testing,
right.
Something.
Just something. They're looking for something, doing something.
I think they probably do it all the time.
And then you get to the point where now...
Say, like, oh, I saw this weird thing. Over in Arizona, I saw this weird thing. I think it's probably military drones. Or you use drone because we don't know what the term is for what they're flying, right? But.
Yeah.
So people say, I saw this weird thing, and it, you know...
An unmanned aircraft.
Broke physics and did all this stuff. I think that's just the military. I think there's probably drones up everywhere, you know, and people noticed them and started worrying about it. And then, do I think now, other people who put drones up? Sure.
Yeah, I would be comfortable in saying that all of them now are people who have jumped onto this, right? And they're like, hey, let's fly a bunch of drones.
Yeah.
Because it's been in the news so much. That the government could have had drones in the air that caused this whole thing, and that they're not even doing that anymore. Or it could be f***ing aliens. I don't know, Laszlo.
Yeah, they really get paid for this.
You believe this shit?
The Church of Laszlo.
Amen, brother.
98.9 The Rock.
Are we done?
We're done.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go pee. Did you see the helicopter chasing two drones?
No.
Google that. I saw the video the other day. Brittany Mahomes, good show. Also, you dress well. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.